Hello, Lynn Cullen. It's great to have you here by phone. How in the biblio world are you?
I am great and so happy to be here talking with you in my hometown of Fort Wayne.
Now, you are headed our way with that brand new novel in hand, Sisters of Summit Avenue. It is a great read. Would you give us a one-sentence setup?
I am going to call it my It's a Wonderful Life, because the characters in the book want something they don't have, and they have to learn to appreciate the riches that they do have.
Time frame and setting, it's during the Great Depression, and it's quite a story you tell. Let's start with how Fort Wayne literally drives the action here.
Well, it's where the sisters grow up. And in fact, I was thinking of my childhood, and the street that I would ride my bike up and down would be Forest Park Boulevard and Lakeside. The book is really so much that meant a lot to me when I was a kid. Some of them scary and some of them wonderful. And in the scary department is the state school. It was a terrifying place. I lived 9 houses away from it, and you could hear the state school kids, crying and moaning. You know, the place always hurt my heart. And then when I was in my 20s with an 8-month-old baby, I was visiting my parents who still lived 9 houses away from the state school. And I saw that they were tearing it down. And I just felt weirdly compelled to walk those grounds. It was kind of spooky how I was driven to be there. It looked like it had been bombed. You know, there's just parts of walls left. And on top of the rubble, in the hospital section, I saw an iron baby bed. It had black straps hanging down from it. That was one of the most piercing moments in my life that came back to me when I was writing this book. It's at the very core of this book. It took me 4 years to write the book. I had at least 15 drafts, but the one thing that stayed was that crib. The mystery of that crib was at the center. So Fort Wayne was definitely burning in my mind as I wrote the book.
Now, that era's sociological issues, like unwed motherhood and mental disabilities, even keeping up with the Joneses and sleeping sickness, all pack a powerful punch. Yet it never feels gratuitous or preachy how you tell the story. Was that a hard balance to maintain?
It's not preachy because it's real. I just had to talk about these things in my life. For example, you mentioned sleeping sickness, which is a form of encephalitis lethargica. It was an epidemic that started in 1915 and went to 1926, killed millions of people. But worse than that, it left people paralyzed. They could hear, they could see, they could talk a little bit, but mostly they just fell asleep all the time, even though they could hear in their sleep. My grandfather had this, and that was one of the piercing things from my childhood. I knew that my mother, in the Depression, had her father bedridden. He was a farmer, just like in the book. Actually, this book is a fictionalized memoir. All these things are bit from my life and from my sister's lives, and this book was therapy. I got out all these things that troubled me and had to figure out how to fit them together.
And you certainly did a good job, and you also pay amazing attention to the pop culture of that day, including the whole Betty Crocker marketing strategy and phenomenon. It's a key part of the plot also. How does this resonate with readers that didn't grow up in that be like Betty and be better than your neighbors at being a little social butterfly era?
Well, it's important now because it's still going on. Like with Facebook, you know, we put our best selves forward on there in social media. Mm-hmm. We're showing what we're doing with our families. And the idea is to look like we're doing okay. That's just human nature. And that's what the advertisers who developed Betty Crocker figured out. She's there to help people be better than their neighbors. I mean, this is just really common. And what was exciting about using 1934 for the setting of the book, the era of the book, is that's when advertising really found its footing because of radio. Radio was a new thing, and here it could get into everybody's living room. And they quickly figured out that what people wanted to know in the way of products was how to be better than everybody. It played on this wanting more. Humans want two things. We want to be loved, and then we want more. That's what advertisers zeroed in on, including Betty Crocker.
Yes, unfortunately, the social situations are still the same. Good point there. Now, right here in Fort Wayne, how do you think your friends and fans are going to react to this really powerful and compelling story, because it does take place here?
Well, I hope they'll enjoy seeing all the Fort Wayne references. I did a lot of research trying to bring out how Fort Wayne was in the 1920s. In particular, that's when these sisters were growing up. I also threw in a lot of things from my childhood. I think I even mentioned Murphy's Donuts. I haven't lived there for 30-some years, but it's so fresh because, you know, when you're a child, that's when things really make an impression. And I think of myself as a Fort Wayne person. I've lived here in Atlanta all these years. And if you ask me where I'm from, and my husband's from Fort Wayne too, we both say Fort Wayne, which is hilarious because in our hearts, we're from Fort Wayne. So I hope people enjoy all the Fort Wayne references there, and not just Fort Wayne, but I'm in love with the Midwestern ethic and the Midwestern sense of humor. I love the character of Midwesterners, you know, how they're so modest, and I love the dry sense of humor. So I try to capture that in the book.
And Lynn, I am curious, you note that being one of five sisters inspired that key element of how birth order, I'll call it, can shape one's life. What do your sibs think of your writing such a book?
They think I'm a punk. You know, I'm the baby. And I'm now 64. I'm still the baby. If we get in a family gathering, they listen to me for a second and then they go on and do what they're going to do. The oldest sister is always the leader. The second sister, she was always the smart one. The third one was always the beauty. The fourth sister was a clown. So when I came, I had nothing. That's how I became a writer. I'm serious, because I needed some kind of identity. So very early on, I wrote, because that was one thing I got some praise for, and you know, we're all dying for praise. So I had to be the writer. I'm glad they did me a favor that I had last choice, because I enjoy it. I really enjoy writing.
Yes, I'm glad that you got the writing hat put on your youngest childhood.
Yeah.
And you're going to be back home and touring the city real soon. Will this visit home be different since you have published this story, do you think?
Well, I don't usually do events when I come. So to me, it's like a celebration of my love for Fort Wayne with Fort Wayne people. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's like my lifelong dream.
Well, good for you. And do you own it more, do you think, since you've been able to share the story, your memoirs, if you will? Does it make you even feel more connected to Fort Wayne?
Yes, because, you know, so many things you tamp down in your life. You're just busy living. This has brought up all these childhood memories and sweetness, actually, more than negative things. And, you know, I had my share of difficulties with my family. Our family wasn't perfect. It was actually really dysfunctional, like most families. But it also was very sweet. And I'm a real daddy's girl. We were always really close, and he was the most gentle, dearest man, and he loved history. He would take us on history-themed vacations. So this is why I'm a history writer, because of him. He's actually, of all the characters in the book, it's based on him most closely. Every other character, I take little bits from my sisters or my mother. There's a lot of my mother in there, and Dorothy. But the one who I was just making him like the real character was my dad. He's William in the book, and he is William in real life. That felt really good.
Thank you for that little bit of insight there. Now, since this fine story of the Sisters of Summit Avenue has been told, is there anything already on that drawing/writing board of yours?
Yes. I'm 75 pages into a book I love, but I can't really talk about it. It's not under contract. It's based on a famous person, and it takes place in 1968 and 1929.
Okay, those are two more good eras, and we certainly look forward to that. And last question, Lynn. Since this is your sixth novel, and by your own admission, you gravitate toward overlooked or misunderstood historical figures and situations. Now, this took place in your own backyard, so to speak. How does that set this book and the accomplishment of doing this book apart from all the rest?
Well, in my previous books, I had a famous person, an incident in their life was the framework, and I just filled in. And I was very careful to stick with the facts about that person, but yet wrote a story that springs from it. This book, I hadn't that framework at first, because my character that I started with that my editor wanted me to write about was Betty Crocker, which I had suggested as a joke to her because I was so tired after writing about Mark Twain, who was such a difficult person to write about, largely because there's so much that he wrote and was written about him. It was exhausting. So I just joked, I'm going to do a book on Betty Crocker. And she liked it, so I was stuck. So I didn't have my framework of having this person's incident in their life. And I was really at sea. That's part of the reason, you know, it took me 4 years to do it. But when I figured out it was all the things from my life, high points and sweet points and scary points that were the framework, and then I wrote a story from that, that's when I got going. But it's a total departure. This is the first time I did this and perhaps the last. But it was really good therapy, I'll tell you that.
So bottom line is, you are certainly glad you did it.
Oh, yes. It's actually my favorite book I've ever written. It's my heart. And I should say this, too. I wrote this book as a love letter to my daughters and my sisters, you know, the women in my life, because it's all the things I would ever want to tell them. It's all between the lines. I don't ever come out and say something. And this is my life's work. It's all in this book.
Thank you so much for making time for us today, Lynn. We say safe travels, happy Biblio trails, and we will see you soon right here in Fort Wayne.
Thank you. This is a real pleasure. I can't wait.
That was an arts and culture interview by WBOI's Julia Meek. You can find more of Julia's arts-driven reporting at WBOI.org and on the WBOI Facebook page.